Tonight!
It is January 21st, 2013, and you are listening to Free to Play. My name is Brian. Bring us in, Belita. And to my alphabetical right, I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Oh, God, why is there screaming, help? I need an adult, help, help. Oh,
Imran Khan.
I am an adult, and you shouldn't tell your parents about this.
Matt Pierce.
Imran told Brian to be a man, and now I can't stop singing Mulan songs.
And we are also joined by a very special guest, Jack Thompson.
Gaming shall die by my hand.
Hello, everybody.
That's right. We're joined by Jack Thompson. Is it that Jack Thompson that you're thinking of? Maybe. We'll let you decide.
Yes, down just, with Grand Theft Auto.
Or was he just really unfortunate to have been stuck with that name?
You decide.
Just let me just ask you this, Jack Thompson.
Okay.
How do you feel about video games?
Love them.
Cool. Sweet.
In fairness, that could be the regular Jack Thompson, too. He could be, like, secretly in love with video games, but spurned. Or video games spurned.
That is true. Like, maybe he just got beaten really bad at video games once.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll never be beaten by video games again, because I'll ban them all.
Wasn't that a CAD comic once?
Probably.
Everything was a CAD comic at some point. It could be like that character from Fahrenheit 451 who just collects books but doesn't actually burn them because it's not against the law to like read the books.
So
because I'll just read the books, not have the books.
Apparently, CADcomic.com redirects to JCPenney.
That's awesome.
Like if you type in CADcomic.com, it goes to a certain page on JCPenney's website. Royal Velvet, only at JCP. Comfy bed, cozy prices. Our royal velvet bedding is high quality, comfortable, and offered at dreamy prices every day.
You also get an online coupon for that. It's pretty great.
I got a TurboTax link.
Yeah, it sent me a TurboTax.
What?
I'm guessing somebody bought that a while ago to mess with Huntley.
Yeah, I've got Sears.
Oh, yeah, now I'm at Scooble. No, oh, go. All right, now I'm at Adult Friend Finder. Okay.
You're somebody's father.
Don't go to CADcomic.com.
No, good advice for Christmas if you're or not.
Go to CADcomic.com and tell us where you wound up.
Yeah, tell us where you end up. It's like on a rotating...
You can be cycling through. Eventually you wind up like
this
inside...
This is really bizarre.
CIA.
It's almost going to get some like awful malware.
This is the weirdest thing. Now I'm at Beyond.com, the career network. I could do this all day. But I'm not going to... Oh, now I... Oh, okay. Anyways. All right. So, we're joined by Jack Thompson, who is... A fellow that we know from theplatformers.net. Go to the front page before you go to the forum because the platformers.net front page is pretty spectacular.
Yes.
I think you can listen to MIDIs of like the Duke Nukem 3D theme. I'm going to listen to it right now. It's not playing. Oh, there it is. It's really loud. Anyways.
I think there's a nice irony in that if you click the Duke Nukem MIDI, it doesn't play.
Oh, wow. Yeah. If you go to the front page, my old blog is linked there. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah,
it also goes to Adult Sex Friend Finder now.
Oh, right, yeah, Platformers then also goes to, yeah. Man.
I think the Platformers homepage just crashed Firefox. Awesome.
I wouldn't put it by it. Yeah.
Play this MIDI crash.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what you get for still using Firefox.
When I had my old 1996 computer, it was like, I would download MIDIs because I liked video game music, and there was a point where if you had the computer on too long, certain notes would just get dropped from MIDIs.
What?
I don't know. I could never figure out why, but it was amazing.
Because computers.
Oh. I used to have that problem too, and it was especially bad whenever I'd be playing games made in RPG Maker because they would just go all to shit whenever you would play them and it's been on too long.
Or if it's related to like the Pentium doing weird things with like...
So speaking of RPG Maker, have you guys seen Final Fantasy All the Bravest?
Is that the iOS thing?
Yes.
Yes.
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
It's the one where you could just slide your finger up and down and win.
Yeah, it's a $4 slot machine, basically, with $50 of in-app purchases. And it's garbage. Like, pure and utter... Like, the writing is full of memes for some reason. That there's no actual gameplay. Even the fan service isn't really that good. And yet, Square's charging $54 for the entire thing.
And it's like
Wait,
it was translated
how much
down
did
by
you say 40.
$54.
If
you buy all the in-app purchases, yeah.
And these are like one-time purchases, not like this is money for in-game currency.
Penny Arcade Report had a thing on it, which is like, I think the headline was like Final Fantasy All the Brave is just a piece of stealing shit.
Damn. And,
like, I think the more purchases you make, the only way you can really progress in the game or something like that. Like, it's not strictly quote-unquote necessary.
Interesting.
But if you want to actually move through the game, you kind of need to have it.
Yeah, I don't know. Final Fantasy has had a really weird presence on, I guess, mobile games. I don't know.
Well, it's because they don't need to try very hard because they know the Final Fantasy people will buy literally anything.
That's the weird thing. Like, they put Final Fantasy 3 and 4 on there, and granted, they're DS ports, but they're pretty decent DS ports.
Yeah.
And they put The World Ends With You in there, and they, like, completely remade that game. So, yet they throw this shit out there.
And wasn't, did the Theater Rhythm, or whatever, Theater Rhythm, come out on iOS too?
Yeah. It did. It's also
really in-app terrible in-app purchases as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what's, surprisingly, there's that other one, Airborne Brigade. Did you guys play that?
Final Fantasy Airborne Brigade?
Yeah.
Please say it involves airships.
Yes.
I played that.
Yeah, it's actually, like, not bad. I mean, it's just basically, like, one of those Facebook games with, like, a little bit of, like, microtransactions, but it's, like, not bad.
I thought you said Spacebook, and I would... Man, who's typing? Who doing that typing?
Wait, we should make an alternative to Facebook called Spacebook.
Spacebook, I agree. It would be Chris Hatfield right now, or whoever the guy in space is that's tweeting cool stuff.
Or just put it so everyone's picture gets, like, an astronaut helmet around it automatically.
I think right, yeah, exactly. That. Just no matter what, you just get it. Man, speaking of, I was just browsing around Kickstarter, and I saw some guy...
You don't
starting...
say...
Yes, I do say it. But no, there's some guy who's kickstarting a product called Beard My Baby. A campaign to end infant beardlessness. And basically it's an app that, you know, lets you, you know, put a fake beard on a picture that you take on your phone.
Yeah, that's what it is right now. In the future, though, once he gets enough money, he's going to put growth hormones inside a formula.
Well, that's what I said. One of my friends said he was going to pledge at $16,000, and I said at that level, it would allow him to perform the research needed to create some sort of gene therapy so an infant could actually be born with a legitimate beard. Anyways.
It is
the future we want.
The neat thing about the Final Fantasy game that we're talking about, the shit one. What was his name again? Imran? I can't remember.
All the Bravest.
All the Bravest. You know, you said it was a fan's translation. It seemed worse to me in that the translation parts I've seen seem like a working design's translation.
No, it's not even a fan translation. It's an official thing that they wrote for that, and it's fucking terrible.
So it's like the quality of the one Final Fantasy game they released last year that was supposed to be like an actual Final Fantasy game, but...
Dimensions?
Yeah,
I actually heard Dimensions was bad. And especially, I imagine it looks a lot better now. Compared to All the Bravest.
So they come back, or wait, did they go back and revamp the script or something, or are you just saying it looks better in comparison?
I'm saying just like, people have played that game tell me they like it.
Oh.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to buy that game unless I get an iPad. Because playing games like that on my phone kind of sucks.
Yeah. So speaking of fan service, I just watched a Sonic Racing video.
Fan service. That better not be fan service. What's going
on?
Sonic.
It's got the Heavy. And
is it the new game?
I think it's the new game. It's got the Heavy and the Pyro from TF2.
Yes.
How did they swing that?
Terrible, by the way. Oh my god, the game is terrible.
Hmm. Wait, Sonic All-Stars Racing?
Yeah, I downloaded
it. I will fight you.
Okay, which version are we talking about?
Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, I think
and
is what it's called.
As long as you're playing one of the parts with the car, you're okay. But everything else is complete garbage.
The boat's okay, but yeah, the air controls are a little...
Which is exactly not what you want in a racing game. Lag on your controls. There's a big problem in that game.
Man, I feel like that stuff is like a really weird overreaction to Mario Kart 7.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt this podcast to do a dramatic reading of something that Imran just linked us to. Oh, we petitioned the Obama administration to get Ninja Theory's DMC Devil May Cry pulled off the shelves. Dear Mr. Obama, as a consumer to the video game industry, where there is one video game that has caused a lot of controversy over the past few months, the name of the game is DMC Devil May Cry, made by Ninja Theory and Capcom. A majority of gamers are aggravated that this game has changed so much from its past predecessors, and the game actually insults the consumers in-game.
Wait. What? A majority of gamer, apostrophe S, are aggravated that this game has changed so much from it is past predecessors.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, you're right. I'm reading it. I'm not bothering to actually grammaticize it. But all right. So, all right. We, as consumers, do not want nor need this. This reboot, and yes. We believe it violates our rights to have a choice between the original's original apostrophe S or the reboot. This game is violating our rights as a consumer, and we believe it should be pulled off the shelves from game stores due to its insulting nature and the fact that it violates our rights. Please, Mr. Obama, look into your heart and make the decision that we all will please us capital G gamers.
Okay, I'd say one thing. I'd like to congratulate the author on this for not putting apostrophe after rights.
Well, this is sort of post law. This is clearly fake because it's somebody that's like, oh, this would be hilarious if we could, like, I guess make all people who don't like DMC look stupid.
Yeah.
But still.
Maybe.
I think my favorite part is that it's posted in Arts and Humanities.
Well, gaming is art.
Protection. Like, I guess there are some consumers that should be protected against that game.
Anyway, yeah, as of the time of the screenshot, which appears to be tomorrow? Wait, I'm looking at the file name, and apparently the screenshot was taken tomorrow. But anyways,
looking to the future.
Yeah, but they need a total of 100,000 signatures, and they only have 99,992 left to go. I don't know what would happen if they actually reached their signature goal.
Well, if it happens, Mr.
Policy response.
I'm actually sure what has to happen is Mr. Obama will go out there and personally pull those off, because you have to do this. I'm pretty sure that if you get enough, that Mr. Obama has to do what you say.
He won't do it. He was a fan of Enslaved.
Was Obama?
Now I wish I could change my vote.
Yeah, I knew. Damn it.
Oh, man. All right, so I want to bring...
Here's the thing. Like, he was a fan of Enslaved, and that means Mitt Romney was probably a really big fan of Shadow Complex. Because Mormons.
Did you guys see the other, like, I guess, serious petition to ban region locking?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Death Star.
Oh, there's a Death Star one, too.
I almost thought you were joking about that.
No, it exists. There was somebody on Gaff that made it. And
why am I not surprised?
The thing is, like, I don't watch Daily Show as it's live or when it's aired, so I watched it a couple of days later, and I noticed that the thread for the region locking thing was made a few hours after a Daily Show about this website aired. So I kind of wonder if the guy just sort of saw it and was like, man, this is a thing that I can do, and then did it. Because that would probably be not... The thing is, like, that petition, I don't disagree with the spirit of it. But I disagree with anything that asks you to sign your name and does not explicitly say what it wants to do is never sign that. You're going to end up in a lot of trouble signing those sort of things.
Right.
Well, these petitions any of the White House petitions, the only thing it says is that you back a sentiment. And the only thing you're ever going to get out of it at best is maybe a response. That's it. None of these really get action.
Realistically, that's a thing, but if your petition states the words, we petition the Obama administration to ban something, then you should have something in that petition saying how you expect this to be banned or why.
You know, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe, like, Obama will address it, and it turns out that he's a huge import gaming fan, and he also wishes that he didn't have to buy Japanese copies of his consoles.
Although, you know what he won't have to import now?
What's that?
Project Hex Zone.
X Zone.
That's true. It got announced for America.
I heard about that. What is Project X Zone?
Have you ever heard of Namco X Capcom?
What's Namco? Yes.
It's a grid-based RPG where you input combos to do the actual attacks.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics meets Xenogears meets like a bunch of crossover stuff.
Now, wasn't the actual game that we're referencing awful and terrible and highly regrettable?
Namco X Capcom is really tedious.
Right.
Because they had it so enemies had their own attack animations, which lasted forever. All your attacks could go up to 7 strings, and which didn't mean you attacked, then went back, then attacked again, and this went on for 7 turns. This one, they cut out enemy attack animations except for bosses, and you just combo all your attacks. So it probably goes a lot faster. That was Namco X Capcom's real problem.
Hmm. Aside from not being a fighting game. And then they turned to a fighting game, then it sucked.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
Yeah.
So of course I'm trying to equate this to a board game and think of that. So like inputting for individual turn-based attacks is, I guess, kind of like a roll of the dice that if you bone it up, then you ruin your attack, right?
Right.
Hmm. Interesting.
Also, there's plenty of fan service for no real reason.
Oh, man.
No, there's always a reason for its shower scene. And
yeah, there's always a reason.
There's always a reason.
Like, for some reason, when Cosmos attacks her, like, a knife comes up from her collar thing and cuts up her top.
Yeah.
Robots.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that happened. That was a thing. Yeah.
Well, it's like that Steam Greenlight thing that I saw. I don't know. Maybe it was last night. I was just kind of browsing around. I think it was called.
Was it the chick flying around on a missile?
Rocket Girl.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, there's a difference in that.
Girl in a bikini straddling a rocket. F-14s, hot cops, lasers, pole dancers, volcanoes, T-Rex.
Been done.
Okay, now
Goaty.
I don't.
Yeah,
I'm
Pirelli,
not,
yes.
I don't keep tabs of this entirely now. I'm going to say that there's a difference between that and actual fan service. Because fan service is just like random shots.
Oh, right,
really,
yes.
Well, really extraneous shit that you
don't know. No, I wasn't saying this was fan
service. On this, it's just a chick in a bikini riding a rocket.
Fan service indicates that you have to have fans first.
Right.
This actually seems to be like a pretty common thing for the guys that developed Project X-Zone and Namco Cross Tekken. Because, as I recall, they also... been working on some kind of DS spinoff of Super Robot Wars, and that was full of that too, even though Super Robot games didn't really have much in them either.
Super Robots.
Yep.
So, did you guys see this thing from the video, Chris Taylor from Gas Power Games doing this Kickstarter right now for a game called Wild Man?
No.
No. Okay. Well, so anyways, Gas Power Games, the guys who brought us Dungeon Siege, they're kickstarting a game right now called Wild Man. And Chris Taylor, who I guess is the head of Gas Power Games, posted up this kind of impassioned video the other day about how he's let half of the company go.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I'm doing a quote here. These layoffs are substantial, but it's not everyone. We still have a fully functioning company, IT, HR, operations, etc., and have retained some key people. I'm going to ask Kickstarter supporters if I should continue, then rehire people, or terminate the campaign now.
Well, he's already spent all his Kickstarter money, right?
Well, there's no... It's still running right now, and I guess it seems that it's not going to succeed.
He's reached a quarter of it so far.
Exactly. So he, I guess they don't like where it looks, where it's going. It doesn't look like it's going to succeed. So I guess with everything they've put into it, he could either keep everyone on, and if it doesn't succeed, then the whole thing goes to shit, or lay off half the people and, be somewhat okay if things do go to shit, if this Kickstarter campaign doesn't succeed.
Okay.
I watched that video and I felt really gross. Like, I honestly, it seems like he's holding, this other half of the team hostage for Kickstarter.
That's really scummy.
I felt really gross after watching it.
The problem is, like, this is inevitability with Kickstarter. You're going to get people that are going to be ethically dubious when the other option is just, like, getting free money from people.
Right. Right, so I mean, it could entirely be a publicity stunt.
Has he said one way or another if he gets his $1.1 million, if he will release the game? Or,
I mean, I assume that they'll release the game if the Kickstarter...
If he gets his $1.1 million, will he release the hostages?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's going to just take him out on the street.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys had seen that, but you should go watch the video. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just felt really skeezy after watching that. Because it's like, all right, you guys just vote. We'll keep it running. We'll tally up the comments. If you want us to keep carrying on, we'll do it. If not, then we won't.
Businesses are skeezy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just in general, like, everything they want to do is to maximize their profit and give you the least amount of product possible without pissing you off.
And, yeah. You know, if you want to be like a CEO or a manager, whatever, you're probably a scumbag to begin with. So, yeah.
You know, I'm reading through the description of this game, and I hate to say, but it sounds like a really bad ripoff of Brutal Legend, but without the humor, like just played straight.
Which is,
I guess Brutal Legend did have RTS elements, right? And isn't that
it basically became an RTS after a certain point.
Right. That was the huge problem with nobody wanted that thing to be an RTS.
That was one of the many problems.
Well, yeah, but if they just made like an American, if they made an American Devil May Cry and based it around like Rocky music and had a sense of humor, I think people enjoyed that.
The much bigger problem with that game was that it was open world and had no reason to be.
Right, and that's what this is sounding like, because he's talking about like having like a huge open RPG world that you can move around between, whereas like every now and then you'll come across and do real-time strategy battles where you're commanding a huge army, and that sounds a lot like Brutal Legend, like including all the flaws.
You know, and it seems to me that if you're going out there and publicly begging people for money to finish your game, maybe it shouldn't be an ambitious open world RPG.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, maybe you should, you know, focus your resources on picking a game you can actually make.
But then again, right. At that point, once $250,000 they raised, he's raised that money off of, I don't know what the exact term would be, but like being dishonest, because that $250,000 was raised based on the assumption he'd release an open world game, and then he released a mission based game. And all those people, they'd have.
Oh, you're saying if he changes that at this point?
Yeah. Like I'm saying, if you know you're going to make a big open world RPG, don't go to Kickstarter.
No,
you only do that if you have a steady stream of funding.
Yeah, if or you need if like $1 million, maybe you need to approach a bank. Maybe that's an idea.
Maybe make the design of the game to where it'd be easy to build such an open world game, you know, like I guess with what like Wasteland 2 is doing, where it's not going to be like that fantastically like wild of a looking game, whereas this is looking like he wants it to be like a really pretty looking game.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it looks neat. I mean, and Gas Power Games have brought us some, you know, some good games like Dungeon Siege and not the movie, the game. That was Yuva Bowl.
I am shocked that the royalties off of Dungeon Siege the movie did not translate to vast wealth for this company.
So it's, you know, it obviously comes from a development studio that knows their stuff. I think this goes back to the, you know, the thing that's been talked about Kickstarter a lot is that people are feeling Kickstarter fatigue now, and if you know.
Well, you shouldn't get $1 million out of it. You're like, okay, like the Double Fine guys came out and they asked for considerably less than that, and it worked, and it, you know, it blew up, and it was great. But now people are just asking, well, let's start off with the goal of $1 million.
Yeah.
A year ago, there was only one ever $1 million Kickstarter ever. Like, there needs to be a middle ground, you know? It's, you can't, this shouldn't be your primary funding for a game this huge.
Like, I couldn't remember how much Peter Molyneux's Goddess Kickstarter got. I guess that was
too much.
It ended up with
too much.
£526,000, which
like $100 million, I think.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, their goal was $450. So I don't know. Anyway, but my main point was that video of kind of guilting you into giving, you know, the Kickstarter money, which isn't gonna fly. It's sad. It's sad for, you know, the people that have, you know, kind of pledged. I mean, not that their money's going to get taken if it doesn't succeed, but still, it's a shitty situation for everyone involved.
Oh, Kickstarter.
Let's take a break.
Let's.
Actually, can we kickstart this break?
Yeah, but then we'd lose funding and we had to keep podcasting. So let's not do that.
And we'd also have to figure out goal or stretch goals.
My stretch goal
wants to do that.
I'm going to stretch my arms.
Oh, that was perfect.
All right, well, let's talk about, I don't know, anyone playing anything interesting?
DualShock?
Yeah. Euro Truck Simulator.
The end of the DualShock is kind of important.
No, the end of the DualShock is kind of like, okay, no one really gives a shit.
They're not ending the DualShock, though.
Remember they introduced the Batarang, and everyone was like, oh, that's kind of shitty.
Well, the reaction to the Batarang was so bad that they had to assure everybody they were never leaving the DualShock. So we were stuck with another, like, 10 years of that fucking piece of crap.
We're back, and we're talking about the DualShock controller.
God, I hate the DualShock so much.
Come on. They said that, Mark, come on. The DualShock is better than the Batarang.
It's fine. Still painful to use.
I find it okay.
It's the analog position.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I see all these, and I'm like, what, why? And I don't know. It always occurs to me that it's just a case of the internet hate machine.
I have to point out that I don't use it for first-person shooters.
The actual buttons on it, after I would play with the DualShock 2 for like maybe 2 hours or more, my thumbs would always be like really sore afterwards. And
it's weird because I see people say the exact same thing about the 360 controller, and it's just like, that's never been an issue for me. It's mainly triggers that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like not in just in terms of controller, just in general.
I've never had that problem with any other controller other than the DualShock 2, and I think maybe the DualShock 1.
I get sore thumbs on controllers I'm not used to. So after a while playing my 360, I got used to it and it was fine. But if I go back to the Dreamcast, it makes my hands cramp.
Well, that's because the Dreamcast controller was awful, and Sega deserves what happened to them for that.
Oh, I loved it at the time, though. I played for hours without any problems back then. Yeah.
I will say that the 360 controller feels a lot more like a solid thing than the DualShock does.
Yes.
The thing is, the 360 controller is now the de facto standard for controllers, and Sony needs to probably just move towards that placement. Like,
it's weird.
Why are the analogs still in the middle?
For everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, like even Nintendo finally changed up to that.
Nope, not quite.
Closer.
They switched the base buttons in the analogs, which actually I think makes more sense.
Yeah,
I think it makes more sense, but I think the learning curve is going to be enough for people to just say no, not worth it.
I think the Nintendo logo is enough for people to say no, don't like it, and dismiss it.
No, the thing about
the people you're talking about are first-person shooter players, and they're never going to adopt it anyway.
And that's the same thing I feel about the people we're talking about the DualShock. It's just the whole.
I don't find the DualShock unworkable. I just think that if they want to use... They're a 3D company now. They make 3D games. Move the analog stick to the primary position.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's been that way since at least the PlayStation 2. But there are other reasons to...
And I will say that I think the DualShock needs to be grippier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, these are the important things that need talking about.
Also, do people like... I don't know if games expect you to hold all four shoulder buttons at once.
Yes.
But I cannot do that.
I've been told that the way you're supposed to hold a DualShock, which I've never been able to do without dropping it, is to get it so that your fingertips are resting, the tips of your fingers, not like your whole finger, resting on the shoulder buttons, and the handle nubs, instead of gripping those like handles, should kind of be at your first knuckle.
No, this
so
is
that you only that barely
make
no,
any sense.
For me, I think like for
it
some,
only
there,
it only
there,
makes sense for games that only use the triggers and the analogs.
Right. No, there are times where I felt like I need to have like a finger on each trigger hovering above, but I think I only ever have my four fingers, my pointer fingers up there.
Yeah, I just use my index fingers and switch between buttons.
Yeah, I can't do.
I was just trying to even remember what kind of games would require only. The analog sticks and the shoulder buttons, like what, Rad in the PS2?
No, it's every first-person shooter. I mean
they still
there have been a couple, enough for it to bother me occasionally.
Man, sorry, now this is a complete aside. So I got a new computer at work. I got a new Mac at work from a work machine.
I'm sorry.
It's
should have gotten a PC.
Yeah, well, no, it's good so I can dual boot and test stuff, and it'll allow me to actually edit video at work instead of being expected to edit on my home machine. especially with a baby now. But anyway, so I was working in Photoshop. What?
Is it Oh Man Higher Ed?
Yeah. Yeah. But both. All right. So anyways, so what the fuck is up with macOS? And and no, like there's no cut function like inside the operating system, so you can't move files like that.
Really?
Yeah, I guess I think
so
maybe
if 10 in years.
I think maybe if you drag them, it might. But there's no like Control X. There's only a copy function.
The last thing I heard about OS X, this is from my coworkers, the latest versions of OS X, is that there's a hidden, you kind of have to know to look for it bug, that if you don't install your Adobe applications in safe mode, some of them just stop working after a month.
Huh. Yeah. I guess I'll see if I run into that.
Yeah, watch out for that.
I'm going to watch out for that. But no, so the one thing that got me was the, so like working in you know, in Photoshop, saving images, like they have the save for web, you know, option. You can save a thing, edit all your things, whatever. And it's like Control Shift S. It's like three buttons. And in a position that's relatively easy to press. On the Mac, it's, you have to do this weird claw thing. Like you can't leave your hand, which I guess for me would be normal resting position, which is on WSAND, but it's like Alt Option Shift S.
Yes,
it's four keys.
It's the same on the PC. It's Control Alt Shift S on the PC.
Oh, I don't know why it's easier on, it's, I don't know. Anyways.
Because on the Mac, you can't bring your pinky in that close. You have to use your thumb to mash.
That's what it is. Anyway, it's a really awkward thing to have to press. And so my coworker is like, oh, just bring your other hand over. And I'm like, I don't really feel like bringing my other hand over. Anyway, so yeah.
That's so much work.
Important stuff that we talk about here at Nature Beard. Yeah, it's really weird. But anyway, so, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about the PlayStation 4 controller. The reason
were
why
we?
The DualShock. Yeah, at some point we were like an hour ago. But the reason
what
about
the PlayStation
is that
4
the,
controller looks like.
Well, yeah, well, kinda. They're saying that they're going to have haptic, not haptic feedback, but biometric feedback in the grips of this thing, and a touchscreen, because you know the Wii U is doing so well that you know we might as well put a touchscreen in there too. So apparently the DualShock design is gone forever.
It's not that they're copying the Wii U because it's successful; it's because Sony doesn't know what to do.
Well, there is that
no idea what to do.
From what I understand, they're both Microsoft and Sony are making it. So I think they're going to have new controllers, but all the old stuff is going to be forward compatible. So they're not so much getting rid of the DualShock as they're having an option that they'll probably quickly destroy.
Yeah, that's going to be so convoluted with the first year of games on those systems.
Yeah.
I feel
kind of like the original Wii when it came out with like 15 different configurations.
Or like how the PS3 had that 6-axis stuff that some games used and some games forced. Yeah. And it was all terrible, and eventually everyone just agreed not to use it ever again.
I feel like, I guess not necessarily video game developers, but, you know, OS developers and console makers just, man, I feel like they just have to really hate backwards compatibility. I feel like to a certain degree it holds them back.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that, you know, of course they, you know, it's nice to be able to say, hey, this plays every single game that we've ever released on any of our previous consoles.
Well, but it also prevents people from like buying a console and then buying like games that are actually profitable for them.
Right.
So that was a huge problem during PlayStation 3 when it came out. People kept buying PS2 games.
Yeah.
Well, plus they want to sell you those old games again.
Right.
It does seem like the only reason the GameCube stuff doesn't work on the Wii U, though, considering that they kind of have that architecture for the Wii in the Wii U.
Right.
It's just because they didn't want to have to put controller ports on it again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how hard it would be to, you know, remap GameCube controls to, you know, to the Wii U controller, but
well, like games that required the analog shoulder buttons would be kind of fubard, but doesn't. Really,
I know it would be a completely unheard of business decision or decision for business, but I think it would be kind of fresh for like Sony or Microsoft to say, okay, for this next console, we're saying backwards compatibility and we're doing some really crazy, wacky shit and just kind of going on with it.
It seems like that's a better way to go.
They may have actually done that because apparently the Durango loop, or whatever you want to call the next Xbox specs have released, and it's going to be like an 8-core AMD processor on that thing. And there's no way that you're going to get that to run like IBM PowerPC games.
So. Yeah. Although if you're, you know, like me, Mark, you probably have to sit there and remind yourself, 8 cores isn't all that exotic anymore.
Yeah.
Not even in the x86 marketplace.
But, yeah.
All right, Brian, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of Borderlands 2. Probably about a month ago, probably during Christmas or some sale, and I grabbed the season pass, which gives me all the DLC. And so my brother and I have been working our way through it.
How is the DLC on that? Is
it? It's pretty good. There's a lot of content. I'd say if Borderlands has kind of been one of the series that has supported them or supported the game with DLC at a fair price, I would say. I'd say for $9, you're getting good bang for your buck with the DLC, I think, so far.
Wait until they raise a level cap, because
surprisingly,
the game's not all that fun when you're not really gaining anything.
Right, so my brother and I aren't there yet. I mean, we're closing in. I think we're both, like, 42 now.
Couple levels off us.
Yeah, I did. But so we've been playing that. But we worked our way through the pirate booty. I forget what it's called. The pirate booty one, which is a lot of fun, and then we're going through Twerk's campaign of Carnage now, which is hilarious. I love Twerk. He's hilarious. But other than that, not much. Still kind of pressing on in Far Cry 3. Might try to dabble in some Thomas's Alone just so I get out of this FPS zone I'm in right now. But yep, so that's me.
I've been playing Sleepy Dogs.
Oh, man, Sleepy Dogs.
Did you say Sleepy Dogs?
Yes. Because that's what everyone seems to call it, so might as well just join in.
So yeah, am I the only person who's not really all that impressed with the way that game looks?
Are you playing with like the high-res textures and all that?
Well, I'm not even playing. I'm just seeing all the screenshots and videos that people post, and it's just...
See it in 1080p in motion. It looks really nice. Like... When they say high-res textures, they're not kidding. Those are some fucking high-res textures.
It's nice and all, but it just something about the design just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can acknowledge that is some quality graphic work.
It's a neon kind of hellscape sort of thing of Hong Kong. But there are parts where it looks better than others, and mostly when it looks nice is when it's raining. Because goddamn. Yeah.
I will give them some credit for actually bothering to make a reflection.
Yeah, the intro, that had rain, right?
I think so. I started up months ago, and I just started playing it again last couple of days.
Yeah, because we rented it a few weeks ago, and I do remember the intro area, which I guess had rain in it, being really impressive.
Yeah. And so if you have a PC and you can play that game, get the high-res texture pack. Seriously. Like, even just as graphics born, it's really nice.
Also, the gamepad, because, you know, not to say that I didn't, like, spend, like, $5 on it, but I totally only spent $5 on the game. But it's asking me to, like, melee using the mouse buttons.
Yeah, and that's how Arkham worked.
Yeah, this feels so weird. I can't deal with that, yeah.
I think before I go any farther with PC gaming, I'm going to have to save a couple bucks and buy a wired 360 controller.
That's what I did. Like the day I built my PC, I just went ahead and bought one, and it pays for itself in convenience.
I did the stupid thing, got a wired PS3 controller thinking it would work the same. Nope.
It's too finicky from what I understand.
Well, it works okay for me. It just, it doesn't recognize that the shoulder buttons are analog, so that kind of kills it on a few racing game.
Yeah.
B, there are a couple games I have that only support the Xbox 360 wired controller. They don't support any other Windows joystick.
That's strange.
That's insane.
Like what game?
I don't even remember. I stopped playing. I just kind of looked at it and said, this is bullshit, and then turned it off.
But it's like we said earlier, that the 360 controller is the kind of standard for a lot of games now. So even on PC, just games are built for that.
And if it's a game I got for a dollar on Steam, I don't mind just never playing it.
Yeah. I've also been playing Pokemon White 2, because Pokemon fandom has gotten to me in the last couple of weeks. and I decided to go ahead and pick that game up.
With the announcement of X and Y?
Yeah.
So explain X and Y. Why is this going to be different? Is because it's the 3D Pokemon, or what's going on with that?
That's all they've really announced about it so far, and I don't really... I mean, I'm not one of the person who is going to care if Pokemon is going to be that different. As long as it's in a new region and new Pokemon, I'm fine doing the same thing. I don't play Pokemon for different games. If the next Final Fantasy turned out to be like Final Fantasy IX, I'm not going to bitch as like Final Fantasy IX. I'm going to be happy they didn't mess it up again. But yeah, Pokemon White 2 is... It's Pokemon Black and White, but in a different region, same region, but different path, I suppose.
It's like the director's cut.
Kind of, I mean, different character, different story. Mm. It takes place 2 years after the last game. And I guess, I mean, I mostly just enjoy seeing animations and being happy that this is a very dead simple RPG.
And probably the last one of its kind, because, you know, now they're going to 3D.
Yeah.
I've been playing... Oh, Damon, have you played anything else aside from that?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. So I found out that GameStop was selling Persona 4 Arena for $20. So if you like haven't bought Persona 4 Arena, that's probably a good price for it. Yeah. Only thing is, I messed up and I panicked, because in the entire New York City area, you can't get it on the 360. So I found like the place around the corner had for the PlayStation 3, and they had like one in stock, so I panicked and picked that up. And I don't have a stick for this stupid thing. So, but it's still going to come out cheaper in the long run, because, you know, it's like I can pay like $50 for like a year of online or pay $50 for a PS3 stick, so I might as well just go ahead and do that. But I don't know, that game has a lot of systems to it. Admittedly, I'm just like going through like some of the tutorial stuff, but like, there's like bursts, and there's like instant pickups, and there's like all sorts of weird name shit that you have to like press by like different like button combinations, and it's a lot of shit to keep track of.
Interesting because like the game is playable for anyone. Like it's probably the simplest fighting game I've ever seen, unless you go that extra step. Like, because for the most part, it's just you can do auto combos and quarter circles for everything, and you'll get along fine.
Okay.
But so once you start doing more than that, like you start doing the bursts and the pickups and all that, for the most part, it's stuff that requires a decent amount of practice.
Okay. But I will say that the music for it is Hells of Persona 4.
And most of it's from Persona 4. There's a couple of Persona 3 tracks, I think one or two new tracks.
I was wondering about that, because like the title track, when you just have it like sitting at the menu, is like, this either is like the original Persona 4 music, or like just they hired everybody involved and told them to make stuff that sounds exactly the same.
Yeah. They've been doing that a lot with Persona games lately.
Well, there's
Golden and Arena.
Yeah. Well, they should, because, I mean, you're not going to probably get better music than that.
Well, they're getting, like, very close to, like, dangerously overexerting Persona 4.
Yeah.
Like, if they do one more Persona 4 thing, I think people are just going to roll their eyes at it.
Yeah, they probably have to move on. But they probably will. I've been playing some more Mark of the Ninja. Can't really say much more about that than what I've already said. Wish I wasn't playing more Skyrim, but I've been playing more Skyrim. And I've been watching more video games being played than actually playing video games, because watching Northern California Regionals.
That Level Up thing.
Level Up, yeah.
Yeah. Those have been some good matches.
Yeah, sadly Dominion didn't get, so.
I just turn that stream off every time Street Fighter Cross Tekken comes up.
Yeah.
Because goddamn, that game is boring.
So like, boring.
I can understand to the extent why they tried to make it so accessible, quote unquote, but I don't understand how no one played it and went, "Wow, this is really boring to play and look at."
It sounds like Capcom is an echo chamber at this point, because there's no one around to tell them that they're making horrible decisions, and they just keep making these horrible decisions. And you know, every once in a while it works, and like, sure as Wrath comes out, but it's like they haven't really had a lot of confidence building stuff lately.
From what I hear, the problem is that like their executives have no video game experience. They don't hire from within for executive stuff. So they might as well be running any other company in the world. They don't know anything about really video games. So when someone pitches them a fighting game, the people who have to take it to their bosses demand that like, "Oh, can you show us how you can get this to the mass market?"
Gyms. Let's put gyms in there. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if they're just going to completely get rid of gems with the update. Like, that seems like no one's going to play it. No one's going to use gems. Might as well just destroy it.
Like, who do they have left in terms of, like, really major figures now, at least on the developer side?
God, I can't remember his name. Hideki Atsuno is probably the best one. Like, he's the Dragon's Dogma, Devil May Cry 3, Devil May Cry 4 guy. Ono is still there. He's in a drastically reduced role, but he's there. Nitsuma is the guy who does Marvel games. Now, that's probably kind of it.
Just reading through Andy McClure's Game of the Year poll and realized that 3 Resident Evil games were released this year, and none of them were good.
Revelations is pretty good.
3DS 1 was good.
Was it good to be a 3DS game, or good?
It was good.
Yeah. Okay.
If they just put a little bit more production value into it and, like, had more enemies.
I will give them some huge credit, though, for actually getting it out near 3DS launch.
Yeah.
Or at least as close as they did.
They seem to be porting it to XBLA and Wii U at the moment. Probably PSN as well.
I'm probably being unfair to it because I conflated it in my mind with the other, like, PlayStation 2 stuff that got poured over. Like, MGS3 got poured over, and it just seemed like it was a bad idea. Like, a Resident Evil game on the 3DS seemed like a bad idea, too. So I'm probably just conflating with that.
Okay. And well, it sounds like the new version of Mercenaries they're doing for the 3DS might be a lot better.
I mean, unless they release that for, like, $15 tops.
Should that just be a PSN release? I mean, not be, but a Wii U release. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to sell that on disc.
Well, they're not selling it on disc. On cart. They sold it on cart before, and now they're putting it on the eShop, and they're, updating it for, I think they're allowing a couple of different things.
Okay, so that makes sense.
And they're stripping out the stupid save system.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter at that point, which is a digital release.
But I think they did outright say it was going to be a budget title.
Okay. Then I might be interested in checking that game out, if only because of my unhealthy fandom of Claire Redfield.
Well, who can blame you, really?
Yes. So, Matt, what have you been playing?
I got this... We actually didn't do this last week, so in the last 2 weeks, I managed to play through the Rage DLC that came out, and it was pretty good. 4 new levels for $5, so that was a lot of fun.
How much content, like, time-wise, do you think that was?
2 hours, 3 hours if you're taking your time.
Okay, that's a pretty decent for $5.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Couple new weapons, none of them all that great.
Isn't, like, Rage, like, kind of like two, like, a year and a half, like 2 years old, though? It's kind of weird they release DLC that late.
Apparently there was some sort of internal issue between ZeniMax and id after id got bought.
Okay.
That caused them to focus on other things that they should have not been focusing on.
Doom 4?
No. It's all been mentioned very vaguely by John Carmack, and then it's been kind of indicated that he wasn't supposed to be saying anything. But apparently it was all just a matter of a bunch of their priorities getting shifted around, and they couldn't work on this DLC that they intended to work on all this time ago. Like, one of the things that it adds that apparently was supposed to be in there from the beginning is a trophy room. You get these little unlocks for all the different things you accomplish throughout the game. Like, anytime you find a secret or anytime you finish one of the bases, there's a little trophy that goes in your trophy room. And I can't imagine that they wanted to wait more than a year and a half to get that out there. But
remember when the game originally came out, there was a couple of rumors flying around that it didn't sell to expectations, and ZeniMax was weirdly mad at Carmack for that.
I can't imagine who had high expectations for that game. I mean, I think it's a very good game, but it's not ever going to... the only online play it has is co-op. One-on-one co-op. That's it. It doesn't have any sort of... any sort of deathmatch. It has no capture the flag. It has no larger online gaming. It's never going to compete with any of the online FPSs that exist. I mean, once anybody hears the overview that this is a single player campaign based FPS, they should have said, well, this isn't going to sell a lot. And that's all you need to know.
I do appreciate ZeniMax is one of the few publishers that actually allows that, though. Just makes FPSs without the need for multiplayer throttled in somehow. Like, Skyrim with multiplayer, as much as people, you know, they have an idea of how amazing that would be, yeah. I think it would probably do worse for the product to have to focus on that.
Well, they tried it once.
What was that? Oh, yeah.
They did Elder Scrolls multiplayer?
Yeah, there was a standalone expansion of Daggerfall called, like, Redguard, and it was Elder Scrolls multiplayer, but it never really stuck.
I think just, like, walking around and seeing some guy crouching behind people and, like, stealing stuff would look stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wouldn't look any more stupid than any other, like, MMO mechanic. But the thing is, that's not why you play the Elder Scrolls game.
Right.
That's why everybody freaked out when they saw, like, the MMO that they were trying to base off of Elder Scrolls. They'd be like, we don't play Elder Scrolls for this. There's World of Warcraft. There's, like, EverQuest. They do this. This is stupid. Make your own thing if you want to do this.
But as for Rage, though, this far out, it's still graphics porn, and it's $10 at most, unless you find it on sale and it's like $5. So, I mean, if you just want to see your 360 do something really pretty, go for it. But other than that, I've also been playing a lot of The Last Story, and I hate to say this, but if I had played more of that before we did Game of the Year stuff, it would have ranked higher.
Yeah, Mike put that really high on his list, too.
That game sucks you in the more you play it. And
very late Wii game, right?
Yeah, this is the one by...
Mistwalker.
Yeah.
It's like a fancy Mass Effect.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give them humongous credit for not putting in a flying minigame. There's a point where you have to get from one cliff to the other, and they basically hijack some Pegasus and fly from one cliff to the other, and it's all in a cutscene. They don't make you do some sort of stupid flying mini game. But it's a good game. It's got a really good battle system. My only big complaint with it so far is that there's one thing they want you to keep doing in battles where you run up a wall and then jump down to defuse magic, which is a whole other system. But they're picky about which walls count as walls. And there's no way visually to tell whether or not you're actually going to be able to run up the wall you're trying to run. So, other than that, though, it's a lot of fun.
All right, what about you, Jack? What have you been playing?
Well, I just finished marathoning The Walking Dead, and...
First time you ever played it?
Yeah, like, I missed out on it as everybody else was playing, and I got, like, all 5 episodes during the Xbox sale.
I can't imagine what it feels like just sitting there and going through all of them. Like,
I imagine soul crushing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like I had gotten to the end of episode 4, which, you know, and I immediately was wanting to start episode 5 up. And it was already 3:00 in the morning. My fiance's like, "No, you gotta go to bed now." And I'm like, "No, I am finishing this. I am not gonna let them down." And so I just soldiered through and was playing it until 5:00 in the morning.
Because that's what you need, invading your dreams. Episode 5 of The Walking Dead.
Apparently, when she woke up the next morning, she was complaining on how she was the one having dreams about Walking Dead. But, yeah, I really loved it. Like, we were talking about Andy's Game of the Year thing earlier on, and quite frankly, I would have loved to have, had both it and Xenoblade as, you know, my number one pick for last year. And I went with Xenoblade, but Walking Dead was, you know, a really close second. And aside from that, I rented Scribblenauts Unlimited, and that game gets boring.
Yeah, I bought it on Steam for like $7, and I got put maybe an hour or two into it. I was like, done. I've taken all the fun out of this that's possible.
Ask you something. As someone who's never played Scribblenauts, never interested in Scribblenauts, do you think it's just burnout from the concept of Scribblenauts, or was this a bad version of Scribblenauts?
It's the best version of Scribblenauts. Scribblenauts as a concept is not very interesting.
Okay. It's
interesting the first time, but it's easy to do everything you want to do right off the bat.
Yeah.
like, actually, I've just gotten to the point where I've beaten almost half the game in the past week, and to kind of amuse myself, I've started just trolling the people, like, giving requests, and there was at one point where anytime it's, like, asking me for, like, to give something food for, like, an animal or something to eat, I'll summon a baby just to see if that works.
I did feed a baby to the cannibal.
Yeah, I summoned the baby for the vampire that came before him, and he didn't want that because I guess he wanted a tomato, but then the cannibal showed up and immediately ate the baby.
See, that's the one saving grace of Scribblenauts, is you get those stories that you can tell people of, like, oh my god, I don't believe this worked. But then, like, the rest of the game is, the only way you can manifest difficulty in that game is if something work or doesn't work and you think it should, which is just, it's not fun.
Yeah, that's more frustrating than anything.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I don't know how they can get past that problem. I'm pretty sure they can't.
Apparently, Scribblenauts is just the third time they've tried.
Well, it's still, I mean, I imagine it still sells well. Oh, fuck yeah. WB for the pricing on that game, though.
Yeah, that should not have been a $60 game.
Yeah, it's a $60 game on Wii U, and, like, it went to $7, I think, like, 2 weeks later on Steam.
Yeah.
Wii U discs are expensive, man. The rounded edges, that cost a lot of money.
I think they just assumed they would make bank on launch games, and fuck them for that.
There's something very wrong with the way people are approaching the Wii U at this point, and it's very clear that there is going to be very ample justification for third parties not doing Wii U games at all, and it's all going to be kind of bullshit. Like, EA has decided that sometime in March they're going to bring the last Need for Speed game that came out last October. At least
Criterion's doing it. They're not handing off to some bullshit third party that shouldn't be doing it. At least Criterion's doing it.
They should just be planning to do the next game.
Yeah, they should. You're exactly right.
They shouldn't be porting games that already came out months ago, and they shouldn't be releasing them for full retail price.
They should be discounted and with extra content.
Well, you knew something was up when Mass Effect 3 Collection came out for, like, PS3 and 360, and you got all three games for $60,
and just the DLC.
Mass Effect, yeah, and DLC, and only Mass Effect 3 comes out for the Wii U.
Yeah,
and you can never get the one DLC that just came out.
It sounded like an incredibly strong launch lineup. It was an incredibly
it was
the games
on paper. It was diverse,
and then you see the price list, and it's just like, there's no reason I'm paying triple price for this game on the Wii U.
The week Warriors Orochi 3 came out on Wii U, I bought it for $16 for 360.
Yeah,
it was a great launch lineup for, like, February of 2012. Hugely strong, yes. just not like 9 months later.
When you saw that list of games at E3 2011. That looked very good. But then the list never changed.
Well, the problem is the list changed, but things slipped further.
Yeah.
Like, the third-party list, that, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But Nintendo's not helping by delaying Pikmin 3 and Wonderful 101. I mean, I say that with anger because I really want those games, but also I understand that I'd rather have them good than shitty.
But, you know, I will give Sega credit that, you know, regardless of the quality of Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform, which I still love, at least they had the sense to, you know, price it at $40, and they actually made the stuff that was, like, exclusive launch DLC for the other consoles, that was automatically included. Like, you didn't even have to use, like, a code or anything.
So I'll also give Namco credit, because they discounted Tekken Tag Tournament if you bought it online.
Well, that's cool.
But it's like, EA is just sort of like, whatever, here's some Mass Effect shit.
Yeah, apparently, Mass Effect is not available on the eShop because Origin.
Yes.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Apparently, Namco's also doing another release of Tank 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 that's a freemium game for the Wii U.
Because no one was going to buy Tank Tank Tank.
Yeah, I was surprised that came out on disc.
I would have bought Tank Tank Tank.
It looked fun, just not, like, was it $50 on disc?
Yeah, that's fun. Stupid. You can't do that shit. What the fuck are you thinking?
That's like, I can't justify that game's existence with EDF coming out at some point.
Yeah, it seems like they saw EDF. Wait, don't they technically own EDF through D3?
Yeah, they bought D3 a couple years ago.
Yeah, it seems like they saw EDF, thought, okay, we can do this with this arcade game we got, and then released it for full price when, you know, EDF was popular because it was budget price.
Yeah. continuing our weekly streak of mentioning EDF every podcast until people buy it.
By the way, you should play EDF, but not the horrible American one. Buy yes.
I keep thinking I was going to buy the Vita one, but like, I mean, it's a full price game only on digital distribution, and that kind of bothers me.
Well, you'd also have problems buying the Vita version because you're not going to find like Vita shelves. This is a segue into like Walmart pulling the Vita, but I don't have enough time.
Are they really? I didn't actually read this too much. Are they actually pulling the Vita?
They're from what the guy was saying. Admittedly, this is just some random goon off gaff. So who knows what actually is going on? But they're pulling the Vita stock off of every, because right now every Walmart is selling the Vita and the Vita games. So they're now it's going to only be sold in select Walmarts.
Which doesn't make sense to me because usually a Walmart services a humongous area. It's not like Walmart is a boutique shop that you have in every mall.
It's that's true, but then again, like in my old hometown had like it was like a place of like 50,000 people, and we had four Walmarts. So I can think of two Walmarts.
I think they're up to five now there too.
Yeah.
You're talking about Hickory, right?
Yeah, Hickory, North Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, they're up to five last time I went through.
Yeah, if you count like Morganton and all that crap, yeah. I can totally see where they'd be five by now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if that's what's happening, then Sony is just doing a terrible job with retail relations. Because even if it's bombing Walmart, it'd still be carrying it.
Yeah. I mean, like, they carried, like, the Wii stuff for forever, so.
It's ridiculous that, it speaks to how little Sony cares, not just this in general, but, like, everything. When was the last, it's weird that third parties are keeping the Vita alive and, that's not a compliment. It's they're literally keeping it alive.
Well, they're kind of keeping it alive, but doing really bullshit things. It's like a significant chunk of like the Vita purchases in America this year were based off bundles of the of Cobblops 2, declassified, and that was terrible. So
I mean, like most of the stuff, like I mentioned this on Twitter before, but it seems like the Vita's biggest strength is its library is consisting of games that I was really interested in 5 years ago.
Yeah,
that like, was... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, Muramasa is a good example. That, oh, this comes with... Or this now has DLC, but I played Muramasa, and as repetitive as that game is, I don't think having an organic LED version of it is really that big a deal.
Yeah, and I remember reading Gap yesterday, and they were talking like that was a game that was going to save the Vita, when that was a game that I think the people that didn't discount it, you know, 5 years ago, which I imagine includes a lot of the people that are, you know, really excited about it now, promptly forgot about it because it was such a forgettable game.
Now,
that is a really good game, though. Well, it is a really good game, the first character you play through. And then you start over with the other character and immediately say, I don't need to do this again.
Now, when we talk about Muramasa being a system saver in Japan, we are talking about a Vanillaware game, right? Or am I mistaking this for a different game?
Yeah,
I'm mistaking for a different game, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to flip out on them too much because the kind of Nintendo Defense Force said the same thing about the Wii. Yeah. They said that this game was going to be the game that saves the Wii. And
well, that's why it's funny.
Yeah, it's...
I think anytime you're at that point when you're the fanboy and you're saying, this is going to be the game that's going to be turning anything around, it's probably already done.
Yeah. Yeah. If it needs turning around that badly, or if that game isn't a major squad-based shooter, or like if it was Madden and no other console had Madden.
Or if it's Mario Kart.
That'll certainly boost sales, but it's not going to save the console.
Yeah.
It'll spike the console. That's about it.
But yeah, that's Vita stuff.
And they're even thinking Dragon Crown is going to do that much of a difference, and that's not even an exclusive.
Nor does I don't feel that exists, really. Like,
shh. Dragon Crown exists, we're all going to be able to play it, it's going to be great. Shh.
There was that whole thing where Ignition was like, oh, it'll be $30 and it'll work on both PS3 and Vita. And then at some point, like, it's the way it was felt was like Atlas took the Ignition's toys away from them. It's like, no, you didn't play with it responsibly. Now sit in the corner.
So I want the PS Vita to do well so that I can get a PSP on the cheap.
Can like, do that now.
No, not cheap enough. I only want to play one game. So, yeah. $60 is not cheap enough. I guess I could probably hit up eBay and get it cheaper, though.
Vita does as Vita is?
Never will.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap.
All right.
Terrible at that.
Bye.
Later, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know if I have any valuable gaming paraphernalia.
You have your baby. You could sell your baby.
I'm not going to sell my. How much do you think I could get for that?
Did Gypsy, like, is it blonde hair kid? I mean, blonde hair, blue eyed?